It's a me, Mario, and I am here to introduce you to a special Beyond the Start Button podcast featuring my new game, Super Mario Odyssey, with special guest, Reagan. So strap in and get ready to go Beyond the Start Button! Woohoo!
Hey, hey, arcaders, it's Joshua the Uber Nerd and the Luigi to my Mario, Danny the Ultrasonic
Hello.
Player. Woo!
Hello, welcome, arcaders. It is good to be here. I tried.
You did a good job.
Hello, arcaders. Good to be here. My gosh, it's Mario Odyssey. It's shaping up to be quite the Odyssey indeed.
Oh, that's true, that's true.
We've been on some very epic adventures already before.
But this is going to take the cake, if you will.
Ooh, oh, is it marble?
I hope so. Well, anyways, yeah. Arcaders, welcome to a special edition of our Beyond the Start Button podcast, where we're going to be talking about Super Mario Odyssey. We're very excited to give to have this special podcast for you guys. All of us here at the Arcade Archives, this is the website that we have, by the way, are very big Mario fans, and we were all very excited about this game. We were all getting Super Mario Odyssey, so we all decided to kind of jump in. In fact, not only is Danny the Ultrasonic Player, who is on our very expensive teleconference machine here. He is teleconferencing from, I don't know, where are you? California, Japan, where are you right now?
Somewhere between the Mushroom Kingdom and New Donk City. I'm still working my way there. It's a big map, and apparently the map seems to form the roads as you go along. So it's a very interesting, mystical map that I've been given. But I am on my way there and just enjoying the journey as I go.
Right.
Complete with my own top hat.
Awesome. Well, anyways, I do want to thank you for joining us. So in just a moment, the founder, creator, and all-around great boss guy, Reagan, is going to come on to the show here with me. We actually recorded as we were waiting at midnight for Super Mario Odyssey. So you're going to be hearing us. We did it live, so if you hear some things, noises in the background, some crazy stuff, a truck, a semi-truck that would not go away, and some other noises, please forgive us that, unfortunately...
Just keep an eye... one thing, though, I will say, if you see a giant cart,
right,
a Koopa Troopa and a Goomba driving it with a whole bunch of bananas... Keep an eye out for those guys.
Yeah, keep an eye out for those guys.
I did run into Donkey Kong, and he did say that he was looking for them.
But so please forgive any background audio or anything like that. We also have a special guest who actually was our audience for most of the live podcast. It was not planned, so he was just there, and he joined us. So we'll be hearing from him as well on the podcast. So. For those of you who have never listened to our podcast before, welcome to the Beyond the Start Button. We usually talk about what we're passionate about. In fact, I guess since we're talking about Mario, I guess that qualifies. And usually we just talk about whatever we're passionate about for the month, be it comics, TV, video games, what have you. Doesn't really matter. Those are the kind of subjects we cover. But today, for this podcast, we decided to do something just a little bit special. So, if you guys just sit back and relax, we'll go back about 3 or 4 days from this recording and go ahead and turn it over to Past Me and Reagan. So here we go. Alrighty, arcaders, we are here at the midnight release of Super Mario Odyssey. We are actually right here next to a GameStop. In fact, you can hear a truck in the background of this recording, because that's how live we are right now. We are live, ready to go for Super Mario Odyssey. And with me, we have someone that is very important to our website. A guy who none of us would be here without, the creator, our boss man,
not like boss as in like boss as in like video game boss, but like, you know, you have to defeat him after the mini boss or whatever. But I'm rambling on. This is Raygun. Say hello, Raygun.
Hi, everyone in Video Land.
Yay!
It is I. I was lost for a while, I think. I'm not sure. Whoa, hey. Lost. Hey, now.
He was lost in the desert.
That truck's getting fresh.
Yeah, it's getting very fresh.
So, yeah, but this is live recording. This is what happened. These are the type of things that happen. For example, when we started recording, I coughed. That was me. I was choking to death. I was getting the Heimlich.
That's okay.
At that point.
But we're okay now.
Yes, we are. We're doing fantastic. Thank you. Well, I want to thank you for having me on your little shindig.
Yes.
Since I don't have one anymore,
The last time you were on the show was the review for Lego Batman.
What?
Yes, Lego Batman.
That was like beginning of the year.
I know, right?
And we're here at the end of the year. Well, hey, twice a year isn't bad.
There you go. So we're pretty much in the same place that we were, last year. But this time we're not talking about a movie, we're talking about a video game.
Correct.
Now, I brought you on this because you grew up with Jumpman, a.k.a. Mario.
Of course.
Mario.
Because I'm old and stuff.
Right.
Yes.
Not that you're old. You're seasoned.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah,
like
sure.
Steak.
I love steak, so that's wonderful. That's good news.
So the reason I brought you on to the podcast here is that I wanted to get your take on, you know, the history of Mario. Now, we've had Mario Month before, way back when.
Oh, yes.
We talked about Super Mario and stuff like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
The evolution of the Mario franchise from, obviously, Donkey Kong.
Correct.
To one of your favorite games of all time, which is...
Donkey Kong 3?
Donkey Kong 3.
Wait a minute, he wasn't in that. I'm sorry.
No. Mario Brothers.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm a huge fan of Mario Brothers. As most people know, I actually have a Mario Brothers machine. In fact, if you go back and watch our little preview for Mario Month, you will actually see my actual Mario Brothers cabinet that I'm playing on in my game room that I no longer have, I might add, because I've moved since then.
Womp womp.
Womp womp. Now it sits in the garage all dusty until I build another one. So I love Mario Brothers. It's probably... out of the Mario canon original, I would say that's probably my favorite because of the strategy involved. It's a very different game compared to a standard platformer. So it makes it more fun and challenging for a person like me who wants to go round after round after round with different things to defeat. So I think that that's part of the appeal. Also, the backstory for it is because, Shigeru Miyamoto was a big fan of Joust, the game Joust. So when he saw that, he wanted to recreate Joust, and that's where Mario Brothers came in. But go back, early enough, I mean, of course, he was Jumpman in Donkey Kong. And, of course, he was the only time he ever played a villain was in Donkey Kong Jr. And so you weren't actually playing as him. He was trying to defeat you. But that's what I like about Nintendo, and we kind of discussed this earlier today, in the fact that Nintendo has always... they haven't been afraid of changing things up. You know what I mean? Like they want to see the character evolve in one fashion or another, and especially Mario. He seems to have gotten that treatment more so than any character, I think, in Nintendo's canon. He has gone through so many changes within a game. And we were, again, discussing this earlier, that every time they've released a Mario game, especially in the last decade or maybe a little bit farther than that, maybe the last 20 years, change came first. Like, they would give him a new ability and then wrap the game around that ability, you know? And we're going to talk more about that later. But, yes, to answer your question...
Right.
I'm a big fan of Mario, have been forever. Uh-huh. 1981, when I saw Donkey Kong, I was floored. Uh-huh. And I just love the story. I love that Mario is an everyman. He's just an average Joe who happens to be in a extreme circumstance in every single game that he's in. And the same thing for Luigi. And if I have to say... bigger fan of Luigi in some cases. Like, my favorite NES early iteration of Mario, Super Mario Bros. 2. because he became the Luigi we know today. He jumped higher, could jump farther. He sustained in the air longer. He was more, not athletic. He was more agile. He could get from one place to another much better than a lot of the characters could. And the neat thing is he retained that throughout his entire lifespan so far, if you will. So but again, big fan of the franchise all the way through. Really hasn't been a dud. I mean, if I had to say one that I don't care for as much as the rest, is he's gonna hate me for this, but please don't start sending me emails and stuff. Super Mario 64.
Really?
I like it. Don't get me wrong. I like it because of the way the game came out in the very early days of polygon graphics and open world. And, you know, the camera's a bit fudgy in the game compared to what we have today. And I liked a lot of the game, but at its core, I feel that there are better games to play. And I never played it on the 64. I played it on the 3DS. Of course, and I was very excited. I'm like, I finally get to play this game. You know, after all these years, I finally get to sit down and play it. And I did, and I enjoyed it, and there's a lot in it to explore and look at. But it just, then, you know, playing Super Mario Sunshine, completely different game, and much more, excuse the word, fluid, for a pun. Yeah, that's right. I like the way the game moves. It moves better. And so that's probably, between that and Super Mario Galaxy, the original, those are probably my two favorite
modern.
Yeah. Out of the rest, I'd say those are my two favorite. Because the abilities are, you know, like with Flood, you could go up really, really high and look at stuff, and then, you know, with Galaxy, you could fly. And you just kept flying. It was such an exhilarating thing. By two, it was old hat. But one really captivated me. That was a really cool game. I think that's it. I mean, like I said, every iteration, every game has its own innovation. You know? Super Mario World, love that game. I could play that for hours. One of my all-time favorites. Love the music in the game. You know, of course, we have Yoshi for the first time. Just a well-rounded game. The Ghost Houses with the booze, and just a really cool game.
Now talking about me with modern Mario is, I think, one of my favorite Mario games of all time probably has to be a kind of a tie between Super Mario 64 and Super Mario Galaxy.
Right.
Because Super Mario 64 was the first jump into 3D. And I remember getting my Nintendo 64, which, by the way, the Episode 1 Pod Racer bundle set.
Wow. Do we all feel old now? Wow.
So I bought it at Toys R Us with change that I had saved up during the entire summer.
And on a side note, it's kind of a sad thing. Toys R Us filed for Chapter 11 this week.
Started on that one.
I know.
That's another podcast.
That's
for
another
a whole
time. Other podcast. We could talk about that for hours.
But I remember playing Mario 64 the first time, and I was blown away because it was like I'm in a real world, for lack of a better term, because we didn't have like the graphics
Correct.
We have now.
Correct.
But I was blown away because I could run around Peach's Castle. I could go anywhere. There was no necessarily any linear way you could beat the
Correct.
You could beat the levels however you wish. I like that about Super Mario. I like that you could slide and you could grab things and throw them, and you know getting shot out of a cannon and then, you know, being able to fly. The only thing I could probably say is probably the one thing that I did not like about Super Mario 64 is swimming. But no one, even nowadays, hasn't really done swimming all that well.
Yeah.
Underwater.
Well, that's the thing. Every game you ever play has this kind of poor swim mechanic because you got to dive underneath and then you can't see for very far at first until everything kind of you know, gets into focus, and you have to remember hold that button down or else you're going back up again. And especially down there, targets look like they're here, but they're actually over here, and the shadows are weird. And yeah, I have to agree. There's a lot of games to try underwater, and none of them are that great.
Right. And that's what I believe is probably the worst part of Mario 64, that and the cameras.
Yeah,
but you have to remember, this was the first game where you could do that.
Yeah.
You know, there really wasn't any game necessarily that had that. I mean, by that time, what, we had Crash.
Well, right? you had Crash, but that was more of a 2.5 platformer.
Right.
So cameras really weren't an issue because they were fixing you in a specific point.
Right.
And they kept you that way. And the round might change where it's sideways or, you know, on a side view. And then things are coming towards you in another. So it was a very different game. I'd say anything equivalent or close to would be Croc. And that was on several systems, as I recall.
I believe it was on the 64 as well. I never played that
game. But here's an interesting story about Croc, and they kind of revealed it recently. Croc was actually supposed to be a Yoshi game at one time, and then they lost the deal, so they revamped the entire character and created Croc. And I was really excited because I wanted that open world, roam around feeling, and with Croc, the camera was terrible. Like, you had to rotate the camera before you could make that jump over a ledge because maybe you were facing it the wrong direction, and it just took forever to do because just the processing power, you know, things move very quickly today, but back then to rotate a camera was a few seconds, and that could mean your life.
Right.
So it was a very different time, and everybody wanted it, but the only way you could really get it was on N64.
Right.
Everybody else tried it, and it kind of meh.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that came relatively close was Spyro the Dragon, the original game. It had very, very nice camera rotation and was quite quick, and just the whole flying thing. That was a really cool touch. So that was probably the closest you could get without having an N64 was Spyro.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Now, let's move on to the next modern Mario. That would be, I believe, Super Mario Sunshine.
Correct.
Yes.
Now,
so,
see,
after 64 was Super Mario Sunshine.
Yeah.
Now, I liked Sunshine.
Yes.
I thought it was a really good game, but it's a very underrated Mario game,
and
I don't understand why.
I think because, you got to remember, the GameCube came out, and everybody kind of focused more on the Xbox and the PlayStation 2. It really kind of lost its spotlight that it had all those years, and it was the first system that didn't shine the same way. Personally, I love my GameCube. I still have my original. I still play the heck out of it. It's probably the most durable system I have. You can beat it to death, and it'll still run.
Yeah.
And I loved just about everything on it I have, and it's just a beautiful machine. In fact, one of my hopes, once we have the online stuff done on the Switch, is that they will do GameCube games on it, like they have with other systems on their shopping channel. I'm hoping for that. I loved Sunshine. It was just the whole idea, and I learned this just a few days ago, that the idea for Sunshine came from a play mechanic. They started with, like I told you before, they'll start with something they want Mario to do, you know, that he hadn't done before. And this one particular move is the wall bounce, where you have two walls next to each other, and he jumps from one side to the other. And that, they developed it, and then they said, okay, now we have this new ability, let's build a game.
Right.
And then, of course, they came up with the whole flood thing, and they wanted to involve Dr. Egad. And that's another game we're going to talk about, because I think, personally, that is part of the Super Mario canon.
Okay.
So that's something we're going
to
hit as well.
Next.
But I love that whole cross-referencing to Egad, keeping it a part of the same universe, and the flood, you fly in the air, and it was such a gorgeous game.
It was.
Gorgeous game, and just the way they were able to do water, and the water just looked so real, you could reach out and touch it. Great story. And just a fun game.
Yeah.
And like, I have to be honest, it's one of the few I've never finished.
Yeah.
I've never finished Sunshine. And, you know, it's one of those go-to Mario games that every once in a while I'll bring out the GameCube and I'll pop it in and play like crazy.
Yeah.
And I love that one.
Yeah, I do too. I like that they added Yoshi back in, because yes. that was something that was missing in 64.
Yep.
I love that, just like in Super Mario World,
right.
It changed the music and added the right. Yoshi percussions.
Right.
I loved, you know, being able to, like, go around the town. It was, like, a little bit more of an open-world game.
Yes.
You know, and just like with 64, you can kind of go to different places, and you can kind of beat the game however you feel it.
Right.
You know, so I like that ability about Super Mario Sunshine.
And it did it much better than 64.
It did. It did.
Tenfold.
Right.
It was amazing.
And I do, though, think it's probably a very underrated Mario game.
Oh, without question. Like I said, I think if... Let's put it this way. Let's step back 5, 6, 7 years.
Right.
Had the GameCube come out in the mid to late 90s instead of the N64.
Right.
We'd be talking something completely different.
Right, right.
Number one, the controller was, to me, the GameCube controller is one of the best controllers
oh,
ever.
Oh, no, I
period.
Agree. I agree.
Period. Just the way it's set up ergonomically and everything else. Secondly, had a game like Super Mario Sunshine been around in 98 or 97, that game would be touted the way the
right.
Mario 64 is. It's just, it's poor timing.
Right.
You know, the GameCube was a very unique concept that people were like, you know, I'm not a kid anymore. And I think that's what was happening at the time, because now you had PlayStation 2, and you had the PlayStation crowd that had already kind of grew up on it, and then you had the Xbox crowd. And they're all like, well, we're not kids anymore, so we want this.
Right.
And that's where the GameCube became this go-to for the younger generation. And I honestly enjoyed it probably more so than my PlayStation 2 in a lot of ways.
I
would just go nuts. Double Dash, forget
yes.
it.
Oh,
forget it.
Still the best
yeah.
Mario Kart of
ever,
all.
Ever.
And I still
it.
Wish like they need to put a Double Dash mode. They need to do
they
that.
They just need to do a remaster. We were just talking about
that. Remastered Double Dash.
Yeah, just do a remastered. 8 is great, but do a remastered Double Dash with the features they had in 8. And you got Liquid Gold.
Or
man.
just make a Double Dash mode in a Mario Kart game.
You could do that
just
as well.
Do that as well. Like, you don't have to make a whole game a Double Dash.
Right.
You could make it a mode.
Right.
It would be awesome,
right.
especially now with the Switch and the way the Switch is. You could have two people on one screen. You don't have to make it split screen.
Absolutely.
Anyways, moving on. Let's move on to, of course, the other obscure GameCube Mario game.
Yes.
But doesn't actually have Mario in the
well,
title.
But Mario's in it.
But
you have to find him
is
more
all
like
right,
it.
So let's talk about Luigi's Mansion.
Still, to this day, my favorite GameCube game of all time, period. Mm-hmm. It really is. I mean, as much as I love Double Dash, I bought my GameCube for Luigi's Mansion. And we were just talking about this in the store. I bought the Switch for Odyssey.
Right.
That's what I wanted. I bought the GameCube for Luigi's Mansion.
Right.
It was just that, like, Haunted Mansion feeling, you know, new graphic modes and the way things looked, and the ghosts looked like ghosts. And, you know, there were moments when things got real hairy in the game. Not, I wouldn't say scary, but they did get, you know, intense in
right.
a lot of, you know, love the puzzle solving. I love the whole, vacuum cleaner.
Literally could be a Ghostbuster.
He could.
Yeah.
And again, I don't think it's as underappreciated as Sunshine.
Right.
Because when people look back at the GameCube, it's the first game that pops in people's heads next
right.
Double Dash
right.
is Luigi's Mansion. Which, by the way, Luigi's Mansion was a tech demo.
Yeah.
They used it as a tech demo to show off the GameCube 2 years before its release, I think.
Yes.
And then basically built a game around it, and they always wanted to do like a Haunted Mansion style game, and Luigi was perfect for the game, and it really shows. And because it's within the Super Mario canon, because of course Mario is in it, and then later on Egad is mentioned in Sunshine, to me it's part of the same
right.
world.
Part of the same
you
world.
Know, and I really, really love it. I think that's probably my favorite game on the GameCube.
Yeah, I did enjoy it, although I will have to admit, I did not play the original Luigi's Mansion until much, much later,
right.
because if you actually go and watch our old Gamesters videos,
yeah.
That was the first time I ever played Super Mario, Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah.
The first time I ever played Luigi's Mansion was the 3DS.
Right.
Yeah, the 3DS
game. The 3DS
Which
version.
Was an amazing game. It was so much
I
fun.
I love that game.
And
but
probably...
As-
one of the very few games that I don't mind turning 3D on.
See, because the 3D, I have to agree with you on that. The only problem I found with it, because of course most people know I went through chemo a few years ago, and that's when I got my copy of Luigi's Mansion on the 3DS. And I found as I was going through chemo, my eyes weren't as good as they were before.
Right.
I had a really hard time, even out of 3D mode, watching that game. So that's where I hope that eventually we do see a remaster of that game, maybe on the Switch, where it has a larger screen. You could actually plug it into your television and play it like a legit home version of Luigi's Mansion. I would love that.
All right.
I would love that.
So let's go on to the next game, which, if I'm taking a poll of all the people that, by the way, thank you guys out there, and I'll before we end this segment of the podcast, I'll definitely shout you guys out for doing this, but we had a few people actually, asked people what their favorite modern Mario game was.
Yes.
And we got a lot of feedback.
On the Facebooks.
On the Instagrams, on the Twitters.
And the Twitters.
We got a lot of feedback, and there was two games that people said that they loved the most. Modern Mario-wise.
Right.
And that, of course, was Super Mario 64.
Correct.
And, of course, Mario Galaxy, which is the next Mario in our timeline
here.
Yep. Okay, so Super Mario Galaxy. That game, I can remember seeing it for the Wii and, like, just dropping my jaw. Because it was the first Mario game that I, like, Sunshine was beautiful, and Galaxy was like, whoa.
Not only just the scope, but the little things got me in Galaxy. Like, all the stars were different colors.
Yeah.
And they were like little Lucky Charm marshmallow pieces. Like, you could pick them up and eat them.
Yeah.
You know? And when a game has that, that's pretty amazing. But I have to agree with you. And I remember at that time, Wiis were hard to get. Like, I couldn't get one for a solid year.
Yes.
Nobody had any.
I got it on a launch day. In fact, I was the first one to get mine in line.
I knew I didn't like it. There you go.
My first game for the system was Twilight Princess.
That's a good one.
I don't really, a lot of people equate Twilight Princess as a GameCube game. I do not. I equate it as a Wii game.
Right.
In my opinion, the Wii version was better than the GameCube version.
Oh, of course. Well, they just did that with Breath of the Wild.
Right.
You know, same concept.
Right. But yeah, Super Mario Galaxy, I remember when I first saw it, the only thing that I was worried about was I was worried that I was going to get dizzy. Because there had only been a very few games that I've ever gotten dizzy playing.
Uh-huh.
And I was afraid that this was going to be one of them. But it didn't end up that way. Because the gameplay is so tight. And you don't have to worry too much about the camera.
Yeah,
you know?
Because and really when he's flying, it's all automatic anyway. And it just kind of takes you to another, I mean, literally takes you to another place, but it's just it's very exhilarating,
is a good way to put it.
Yeah. You're just like, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah.
But I remember I waited a solid year to get that Wii, and there were other games I wanted, but again, it was that Mario title that pulled me in. I was like, I gotta have Galaxy, sorry. And I remember we found one, and I don't remember which gaming establishment had it, but it was one that started with a G, and the second part of it starts with an S, and we'll leave it there. And like another location had one, but they knew my wife, and they knew me, and they're like, if you get up there in the next 5 minutes, bang, we were up there. Grabbed it, and we got Galaxy, and of course, one of those deals where, you know, my kids were relatively young at the time, and we bought it for them.
Right,
You know, and my wife's like, well, you can't play that until Christmas. And of course, this was Black Friday, so it might as well have been March, you know, because I had to wait forever. And I just remember putting that game in, and I did not, and it was probably the first time in a long time where I didn't stop playing for almost a solid day.
Right.
I was on that game the whole time.
And like, the boss battles were amazing.
Oh, yes.
And like, You utilize all of Mario's power-ups to the fullest.
Yep.
I remember one of my favorites was the cloud one.
Yes.
Where you did the little twist and then like the little cloud appeared and you popped up. I love the bee.
Yes.
And you turn into a little Mario bee.
That was the first time they used that. That was amazing.
I was so happy. Like, a lot of the power-ups were just so good. And then they announced when Galaxy was about to come out that they were going to have DLC. It was one of the first Nintendo games that was going to have DLC.
Right.
That they were going to have new levels and stuff like that. But they came up with so many levels for this DLC.
Right.
That they're just like, well, let's just make an entirely new game.
Right.
You know, I do want to mention one thing before we move on to Galaxy 2, though, is another thing that I liked about Super Mario Galaxy, and I think some people tend to miss this one, is Rosalina.
Yes.
And the reason I like Rosalina is her story that you unfold, that you learn about mm-hmm. as you play the game more.
Correct.
My gosh, you know.
Oh, yeah, I
that
know.
Story is amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, finding out about, and, like, I have to say that Rosalina is definitely one of the more rounded
yes.
characters.
Yep.
You still don't really technically understand what she's doing,
yeah.
you know, what her deal is, but she's still very vague.
Yeah.
But I do, I think that it's definitely one of the interesting things about Mario Galaxy is that you actually get to find out about,
right.
you know, Rosalina, and you get to find out about her story and where she came from, and, you know, there's this whole, you know, group of people who, you know, believe that Rosalina is Mario's daughter from the future, and are, some people even think it's Luigi's daughter from the future,
right.
and, you know, we don't know, and it keeps very vague, and I kind of like that, but
yeah.
I do like that they took time to actually do character development in a Mario game.
Right.
Which, technically, Mario really hasn't had too much character development.
No. No, you know who
or
he
story.
Is.
Yeah.
Much...
You know, you save the princess, that's pretty much
yeah.
your deal. You
yeah.
know, so the next game after that was, of course, Mario Galaxy, which was supposed to be DLC, but they had so many levels, they did so many things.
Part
just
two.
Like, let's just make a second,
right.
second part. And this is, like, the first sequel they've had. Since probably Mario Brothers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Since the original Mario Brothers. I loved Galaxy 2's levels much more than Galaxy 1. Now, the story was, man...
Yeah, that's what turned me off to it. I was more a fan of the first
the
one.
The levels were just, like, crazy. And I love... I'm not sure whether it was 1 or 2. But I love when they did the throwback Galaxy and they did the level from Super Mario 64.
Yes.
I thought that was really cool that they added that in there.
Yeah.
You know, and then finding Luigi
yes.
throughout the thing, and then
yep.
Being able to play him at the end, and then finally being able to, again, ride with Yoshi.
Right.
And having Yoshi do specific things, not just, you know, gulp up enemies now. He actually, like, can blow up like a balloon and, you
yep.
know, all this other stuff. So I did enjoy... you know, that addition to Mario Galaxy, but level design, Mario Galaxy 2 is superior. Story-wise, I like Galaxy 1 better.
Right.
But this is also one of the first Mario games to have, like, an orchestral score.
Right.
And it was just more epic, and it just felt great.
Right.
Of course, it also had one of the first Mario games to have what I call little brother mode.
Mm-hmm.
Little sibling mode.
Yes.
Where you literally just could have somebody collect all the star bits for you with the Wii Remote.
That's right. I remember that.
You could do nothing else. There was nothing else you could do. So
the little Lucky Charms marshmallows.
Yeah, I called it the little sibling mode because yeah. it was like, it reminded me of like when I used to play Sonic 2 and I have my little brother play Tails.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't affect anything. It
yeah.
was just kind of... just kind of
great.
There.
I like that.
And then sometimes you would not even plug in the controller at all. You just kind of play and just let them pretend that they were
right.
playing.
Right.
So yeah, I that's why I love Mario Galaxy 1 and 2. Now, after that, we've got the Wii U.
Right.
Now, I do think the Wii U got a lot of undue hate. You know, I understand they may have made some mistakes with the marketing and stuff like that, but the system itself I felt was a good system.
Oh, it's a fantastic system. It was marketed poorly and given a bad name.
Right.
And that's really all
that's
it
really
did wrong.
Really killed it, yeah.
Yeah.
And but we move on to that to Super Mario 3D World.
Right.
Which for the first time ever, you know, in a Mario 3D game, you can play all four characters.
Right.
Actually five or six, because you had Rosalina.
So, oh, yeah, that's
yeah,
right,
yeah.
yeah.
yeah
I forgot
Rosalina.
That.
Yeah. But, yeah, you can play all the characters.
Oh, and the cat suit.
And
oh,
the cat
man,
suit.
I
yeah,
love
the cat suit.
God, the cat suit was so much fun.
Oh, that was so much fun, the cat suit. But, yeah, I mean, the whole idea of it, like, you have four, you know, this is, you know, this is the first non-side-scroller to have four people at the same time.
Right.
You know, we
right.
had Super Mario Wii, and then we had Super Mario Wii U, and then we had Super Luigi Wii U.
Yeah.
But those were traditional side-scrolling games. This was the first 3D one, and I thought they did a great job. They hit it out of the park.
Well, it's funny because I was again, I bought my 3DS for Super Mario 3D Land, and I love the game. Fantastic. It just played so... It was that next step where it wasn't free roaming, but gave me that satisfaction of the whole 3D experience of, you know, worlds that you could tell were epic, but you couldn't see everything, but you could still interact with it, and it was a really, really good game. And then to take it and put it on a big screen and add more characters and more abilities, including the Katsu, which I loved.
And then each character having a special ability, just like in Super Mario 2.
Right.
You know, Peach could hover, Luigi can jump higher.
Right.
You know, Rosalina had the spin.
Right.
You know, retaining that was a great idea.
Well, again, they're very good at doing that, especially when it comes to the Mario franchise. They literally look at what they can improve upon from the last going. And that's what I love about the series, that you know when you get it in your hand, it's not the same game.
Right.
It's something completely different.
And then, of course, we had Mario Maker, which was another game changer completely, literally and figuratively, because you could create your own Mario game.
Well, as I called it at the time, the Mario game killer. Because literally, you did not need to ever buy another 2D platformer
ever again.
You literally could build whatever you wanted at any time.
Build everything.
You know, it's like, thanks, Nintendo, you can shut down now.
So, now that we've talked about the past, let's talk about the future.
Right.
I remember when the Switch was announced, because we were hearing things that Nintendo was like, oh, they were going to announce things, and then I remember the day that I first saw the Switch.
Oh, I remember it, too.
You were the one who brought it to me. I was at Disney Quest.
Yes.
And I was opening the Animation Academy.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I hear somebody running down the hall, and this was like early in the morning.
And I don't run for everything. Less being chased or somebody has food.
Here comes Ray.
So.
And he's like, Joshua, you gotta see this. You gotta see this. Marty.
Okay. You gotta come back with me.
Back to the past.
That's right.
So yes, I did feel like Marty McFly there for
a few awesome. I love that. That I'm Doc Brown.
You are Doc Brown.
That's amazing.
You gotta see this from the future.
You can come back with me.
But anyways, you showed me the trailer for the Switch.
Yes.
And this is the first. Usually, when I buy a game system, the games are what sell me.
Right.
It's not the system itself, necessarily.
Right.
Like,
right.
Usually there are perks that system have. I don't really necessarily buy systems for systems. I buy systems for games. You give me games, I buy the system.
Right.
And that's how it works.
Right.
Okay? But this game, this system, I saw it and went, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't even need to show me a game. I just saw that you could switch.
Yeah.
And you can switch from handheld mode to TV mode. You can have your controller. You can split it apart. You can play two players on the same little screen.
Correct.
This was a game changer.
Oh.
And
a literal game changer.
Right.
I mean, you've got companies now scrambling.
Right.
And you have companies who didn't want to do business with Nintendo for a very long time saying, hey, we're releasing, and more importantly, and I know this is something that probably wouldn't make you happy, but will make the other gamers who have other systems happy,
right,
is that Nintendo is becoming very lax on the parental thing, because in their eyes, they have the parental controls now.
Yes.
So you literally can set that thing up not to allow children to play whatever. So that opens up the floodgates to, hey, you can do, like,
Doom is on it.
I can't wait for Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
And knowing that it's the brand new it's not a rehash. L.A. Noire, I cannot tell you, I wanted that for the 360, and now I'm going to have it on my Switch, and I'm just like...
And you can play it wherever.
Wherever
you want.
But see, that's what opened everything wide because people now can take that thing and go wherever they want and play what they want because the screen is very large. They could still hook it to a TV. It's very comfortable to hold. I mean, it's such a win that Nintendo has nothing to worry about.
Right.
I mean,
right.
They're really in the prime spot.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned. But I it's funny. I have not bought, and this is a true story.
Right.
I have not bought a brand new system out of the gate since my NES.
Nice.
Okay. That just shows you, I'm a cheap son of a gun. I don't spend money because I've been around the block. I'm like, well, if I wait a couple of years, they're going to have a gigantic library that I can get for pennies.
Yeah.
Why do I need to buy this?
Right.
You know, NES was my last big purchase of system, brand new opening day. Okay. Fast forward 30 years or so, and I see the Switch, and I'm like, I gotta have this thing. And I knew I probably wouldn't get it till Christmas, and of course, I have a lovely wife who got it for me for Father's Day.
Aww.
And like, shocked the... She played one of these, like, wrapping toilet paper, huh? Very funny. Got me toilet paper, huh? She got me all the controller stuff. Like those packages you can buy, the controller covers, this, that. And I'm like, honey, this is not for the Wii U. I can't use
right.
this. Like, you know.
Oh, she did the same thing my parents did when they got me the Genesis
see,
when I was a kid.
and then she whips out the receipt, which, by the way, I needed to bring for my Odyssey purchase tonight.
Yeah.
But out of the gate, I have not had a new system since 85. And so I'm so excited to be a part of this. In fact, my wife was like, why the heck do you have to go down there tonight? Pick it up. I said, you know why? I said, I've never done that.
Yeah.
I've always been, hey, I'll wait for it to be on the discount rack and then
right.
I'll buy it. What do I care? Or my family will buy it for me. And yeah, it's a little bit older, but who cares? This is like so much fun for me because
right.
I'm a part of this generation all of a sudden.
Right.
And this is a truth you're not going to believe.
Right.
So I've had my Switch since early June.
Okay.
Okay. So we're going on a few months now. I have never hooked it up to a television.
Oh, gosh.
Ever. Because it's so awesome to just pick it up. It's like a book.
Right.
And, like, I'll put my headphones in. My wife's watching Dance Moms or some crazy nonsense that I would never watch in a million years. And I'm playing, you know, like, I'm hooked on Lego, what is it?
Lego City.
Oh, my God. I can't stop playing that stupid game. It drives me nuts, but I love the game and like all the missions you have to accomplish and the fact that you can literally, again, walk around
right.
and do absolutely nothing if you don't want to.
Right.
I found an arcade.
Right.
All right. And I wanted to go in and play and it wasn't open yet.
Uh-huh.
So I had to do something in order to find out, you know, so then I ended up doing whatever it is and now I can't find the arcade.
Oh,
I have no idea where it is. So like I'm running around downtown going, where's that arcade? It's in some corner alley somewhere. I'll find it eventually. So, but that's just the type of thing you can do with the
just
Switch.
Wait till you play Breath of the Wild. Then you'll be like,
oh,
I was going here.
I just want to cook food.
I literally, the Breath of the Wild, and then Craig aside, and then we'll move on to Mario again, but Breath of the Wild, like, is the greatest ADD game ever.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Because you could go, hey, look at that, and you go over there,
yeah.
and you're like, oh, this is cool. Hey, look at that, over there, and you run over there, and then you, and like, literally,
so,
I did that
so
for
it's
an
the,
hour.
So it's the Nintendo's version of a fidget spinner.
I was supposed to do one mission, and then I end up going on the completely other side of the map, and it takes me 10 minutes to go back.
You know, you just hit the nail on the head why I loved Sunshine so much. Because that's exactly how I felt. When you're playing Sunshine, you literally could say, yeah, I don't want to do that right now.
Yeah.
And you just go running around Delfino and just like, who cares? I'm having fun. And then that stupid Mario would show up and spray paint crap. And you're like, I don't want to do that right now. I just want to go over here. There's this cave I found way over there.
Like this, oh man, like... The Breath of the Wild, it's like you see like this mountain in the distance, and you go to that mountain.
Yeah.
And you can climb up to the top of the mountain and then jump off of it. You know?
So like a GTA.
Oh my god.
Wasted, like does it get
like,
killed?
And like the first, wait till you play it. That first scene when you first start the game is just like, I literally went, I can go to all of this? And literally, I went to every single bit of it.
That's awesome.
And like, I love that it kind of just drops you off and goes, okay, have fun. just doesn't tell you how to do anything. Just you just kind of figure everything out on your own.
See, I love
they don't
that.
Even teach you how to cook. You have to learn how to cook. I had to find out on my own. I didn't even look up online. I figured it out on my own self how to cook.
On your own self, man. I'm an adult.
But anyways, let's move on to Super Mario Odyssey. What we're excited about for Super Mario Odyssey.
Where now, do I start?
I will have to say,
I guess my headwear would be like the first thing I would start with.
Let's say that this is probably the first Mario game that I don't know every single detail about the game right now, and I'm actually good with that.
And it's funny, so am I. Because it excited me in the way they've been teasing us with little things here and little things there. And then I got my Switch and I would see a little bit more because then I could see it firsthand on,
little
tiny teasers that they would throw out just for the Switch fans who had their Switches. And that's what I've really appreciated about this. It goes back to, there was another one that did this. It was probably New Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Which is another highly underrated, and not the Wii version, but the one that was on the DS. I remember it was the same idea. They showed screenshots of Mario taller than a building and destroying things, and that's all I needed. That was literally all I needed, and that's exactly what this is doing.
Right.
Is showing these little things, like I was saying earlier. He's in a chef costume. He must have stolen it from Peter Pepper.
Right.
You know, poor Peter Pepper standing around somewhere with Mario's outfit on going, what the heck did you just do to me, man? I can't go to work with this thing on union laws.
I can tell you a few details. First of all, there are no lives. This is one of the first Mario games. There are no lives.
I didn't even know that.
Yes, there are no lives in this game. First Mario game, no
lives. I will tell you something that I know.
Okay.
That the curtain of not being able to say anything, all these companies that do reviews, not a single one under a 9.
Yeah.
Not a single review under 9.
Yeah.
If they do go 1 to 10. So that's pretty impressive.
And the coins actually matter in this game. So it's not just collecting coins to collect coins. You collect coins to buy things. So, the outfits that he has, that's what you use your coins for.
Oh, that's pretty amazing.
So, except for that and the fact that you have Cappy.
Yeah.
And that you can throw Cappy and you can, like, use him as, like, I'm glad I brought it up now. The cloud ability.
You can use him as a platform.
Yeah.
You can
throw him as a weapon.
Right.
You can now find anything in the level. You could throw Cappy on him, and then you can turn into that character.
Okay, let's dwell on that for just a second, shall we? The two things that got me were being a Boo,
right,
with a mustache, which I thought was phenomenal. And I know everybody's going to say the T-Rex, and that's really cool, but I'm sorry. But I always wanted to be a Bullet Bill. Just knowing that for how long, I can fly around and just hit things as Bullet Bill with a mustache. I could do that all day long, man.
I mean, when they saw the T-Rex, though, that was like, well done. I'm sold.
Well, I'll tell you what sold me right away was just the ability to be able to take the hat off and throw it as a weapon. I was just like, what?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
I mean, that's all. And then it had eyes, and I'm like, okay, I'm in love with this thing.
Yeah.
Where do I find one? And of course I did, and I'm wearing it right now. You guys can't see it.
Now he's got a rare item now because people are searching for this.
It's funny. I found two of them the other day at a GS where I was.
Yeah.
And we'll tell that story. I think it's pretty funny. So, but I am very excited about Odyssey because, again, the unknown, we know so little about the real gist of the game and how many levels are really in it. You know, I'm digging that he's wearing, like, this outfit. He looks like Pedro from South of the Border, which is just like, what is this all about? And then, of course, we have Nipplegate because now he's running around without a shirt on, and I'm not sure what that's all about. And, you know, there's so much that we don't know, but, like, literally in 2 hours, I'll be able to pop it into my Switch, and a lot of my questions will be answered right then and there.
Right.
And I'm just biting at the bit. I am like 12 years old right now in a 51-year-old body that hurts all the time. It's amazing how I feel right now.
I agree. I'm excited for this Mario game. I've gotten more excited. I kind of dropped off the map for me for a while because Breath of the Wild, and that literally took me months.
I'm
still playing that game.
Well, yeah.
I'm still playing it.
Yeah.
I still have not seen every inch of that map.
Yeah.
You know, I get cravings to play that game, you know, so, it kind of fell off the map for me, and then as it got closer, when it got closer to the release date for it, I was like, Nintendo started hitting you with things, and I'm like, oh, wow.
They literally kind of let it slide for a little bit, let everybody kind of take in what they saw.
Right.
And then they were like, okay, now we're ready to give you a little bit more. Here. And you're like, what? Now I can do this?
Yeah.
And now I can do that?
Yeah.
And like...
And then, you know, not only that, but they got a singer to play to do the main theme for the game.
Who is Pauline from Donkey Kong?
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And what relationship does she have with Mario now? She dissed him after Donkey Kong.
Well,
then she comes back for Donkey Kong versus Mario and disses him again.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, she's back.
Uh-huh.
I say tramp. No, I'm only kidding. We don't know what's going on there, so
but I think it's really awesome. You know, you get the first, like, I mean, Zelda Breath of the Wild the Switch has been doing this.
Yes.
They take their usual formula for a game and they turn it all crazy, like, with Zelda. We get voice acting in Zelda.
Yes.
We've never had voice acting in Zelda before, and they did a great job, you know, with Mario, we get a whole song. And not only that, they have dance moves for the song now. He has his own, like, he has his own Michael Jackson video.
Yeah, like, I saw it. And he's dancing, and I'm like, I'm not sure how I want to take this. I don't know. I'll tell you the one thing that freaked me out. There's one thing that did freak me out.
Okay.
Okay? He inhabits humans.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And that was the one that really got me, because, like, okay, this thing called New Donk City, and he's there, and, like, no one looks like him. He's completely different from all these other people.
Yeah.
And then there was one very brief scene where he inhabits one of them, and it's just freaky. It is just freaky.
It looks
to watch
like that
these
tall Mario.
Yeah,
Mario Maker.
No, that's nightmare fuel. Sorry. That's almost Freddy Krueger territory, way over here. No, but there is something very Slender Man weird about him jumping in this body. And they don't look fully human. They just kind of, you know what they remind me of is, you know, like, let's jump back to the Wii, but the Wii Fit girl.
Oh,
and then the
Wii
Fit guy, they're that kind of vanilla looking.
Right, we're just here.
And that's what they look like. And then he jumps in them and he's doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And I'm like, that's just weird. And they only showed it for like a few seconds in one of the preview trailers, and I'm like, yeah, that's creepy.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'll be doing that, because that just doesn't, unless I have to, like, because I'm figuring that there's going to be, you have to utilize certain people or certain groups of things because of their attributes. That's what this is all about. I mean, they've even said that Bullet Bill is only used in certain levels, and you could jump in them and do this and do that.
Right.
So I'm assuming that's what all of this is about, is like, you know, you'll see a certain character, you can inhabit him, he'll allow you to do this, and then you leave him and go to this one, and he'll allow you to do something else, and that's like, each one is a different key to unlock a different door.
Right.
It's kind of how it works.
Yeah.
So, and I'm good with that, I'm fine with it. I want to see how free roaming it is, so I'm pretty excited about that. That's the big one.
Right.
Like that whole southwestern looking, that was what got me, because if you recall, that was like the first screenshot.
Yeah.
Was that area.
That's,
and I'm like, that really.
Western town, yeah.
That just knocked me off my feet. I'm like, it looked unlike anything we had seen in a Mario game before. And that's another thing, is so many diverse levels.
Right.
That we have never seen before in a Mario game.
And diverse minions. It's not just Goombas and Koopas anymore.
No.
You know, you have a whole, like, every world has different villains that you can beat up.
Right.
And stuff. So I like that. You know, I'm kind of sad that I can't get the amiibos, though, because the amiibos aren't coming out right away.
And good luck trying to get them once they're here.
Yeah, no.
Because we know it's going
to
be one of these.
You have to wait until the second wave of them comes out before you get them.
It'll be one of those, oh, sorry, guys, Nintendo only released 2 of them.
Yeah.
And that's all we're getting for a
but
year.
But I want that Mario with the top hat. And
that's the one I ultimately want.
And Princess Peach with her wedding dress and
Bowser
well,
with.
You know, I gotta get those because if I ever decide, because of course mine and my wife's 25th anniversary is coming up in the next 2 years, and it wouldn't it be nice if I could surprise her by, you know, renewing our vows and we could use those on the wedding cake.
Yeah, I know,
you
right?
know, because they're already dressed.
That's what I was thinking.
So I'm like, there you go, Mario and Peach. That's awesome. And her nickname is Peach, so it works out perfectly.
Yeah, I would probably do that too.
I think that's pretty awesome.
My wedding, I put the two
absolutely.
Little Meepos on top of the cake there. But,
absolutely.
But yeah, I'm excited about it. I also want to really quickly, I want to mention some people who sent us some feedback.
Yes.
Real quick. But by the way, stay tuned because me and Danny are going to come back and we're going to actually give you our first impressions review of Mario Odyssey.
I won't be a part of that.
He won't be a part of that.
I have things to do.
He has lives and
yes, I have so many things to do. You know, one of the things I have to do is finish up that Donkey Kong retrospective I started over a year ago. I think needs to be finished eventually.
But so I wanted to thank Jason Zonka.
Yes.
He is a friend of mine. He also, he's known as the Jersey Devil. He does the Gamer Feedback Podcast. So
okay.
I want to go ahead and give him a free plug.
Awesome.
He said that his favorite Mario, modern Mario, was 64.
Okay.
A friend of mine, Ben, asked me if Mario Kart counts. And I said, sure.
Why not? Hey.
Why not? Mario Kart's awesome. Another friend of mine, Christopher, he loves Super Mario Galaxy. He says that space is cool. The platforming is on point. Rosalina is my fave Mario character with a super compelling, heartbreaking story, which I agree with.
Okay,
about.
Yeah.
And then another friend of mine, Abigail, she said 64 was her favorite, and also Galaxy as well as 3D Land for the 3DS.
Yes.
Which we didn't talk about, but...
No.
I definitely did enjoy 3D Land on the 3DS.
Well, you know, we kind of overlooked a lot of, you know, the 2D that came out in the modern generation.
Right.
I mean, what was your impression of, say, Super Mario Brothers Wii? Because now that was the first time you could play as four people.
I liked it. I think, like, nobody came up with that. You know, why didn't we not come up with this before, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Especially since the GameCube had four separate,
right,
you know,
we could have done that all along.
Yeah, but, I agree. I did enjoy it. You know, the reason why we skipped the side-scrollers is mainly because we wanted to stick to a game that was very similar to Odyssey.
More of a roaming. I get it.
But yeah, I do enjoy a lot of the Mario, you know, a lot of the side-scrollers.
Yeah.
I love side-scrolling. That's one of my favorite genres
of
gameplay. So I do love, you know, when they come up with, I remember the first time I played new Super Mario Brothers.
Yes.
And I could have the raccoon tail and fly again.
Yeah.
That made me cry.
Yeah. I don't know if it made me cry, but yeah.
Because Super Mario Brothers 3, has a special place in my heart.
Okay.
So when I was able to be in the raccoon suit again.
Yeah.
It just made me cry because I was like, oh, I can fly again. It's so amazing, you know. So, anyways, let's move on.
Okay.
So, we're moving on to Instagram.
Okay.
We had one person bring up, and his name is Scattered Brain Podcast.
Okay.
Podcaster who's been following us on the Arcade Archives Network on Instagram. So follow us on there.
People are following us?
Yes, people are following us.
Man, I step away. What the heck happened?
So he says that Super Mario Galaxy 1 and 2 is his favorite. He got sucked into 64 was his childhood jam.
Right.
And he used to play it all the time with his brothers when he got it at Christmas.
Okay.
During the whole Christmas vacation, he played that and Pilot Wings.
Okay.
So.
Another tech demo.
Yeah. So thank you, Scatterbrain Podcast, for that. And of course, I always need to mention one of my other podcasting friends, not because I'm dropping names, but because they are my friend.
We are dropping names.
We are dropping names. I want to go ahead and mention Daniel from the Reasons I'm Broke podcast.
Ah, yes.
Who just had a baby recently, so congratulations.
Yes.
And he says Super Mario Galaxy, the story with Rosalina and the gravity physics were tons of fun. Nothing like jumping around the entire planet in one go.
Yes.
Which I also agree with.
I absolutely do.
And because we're also here live at GameStop, we have we have an audience member right over there who is... He has a blanket, and he's playing his Switch right now as we are speaking to him.
Yes.
Come on up here. come up here, strange mystery person. Come on up here. Hello, welcome, welcome to our show. So since you are here and you are listening, I figured, you know, have you jump in. So what is your favorite modern Mario game?
Spin-off or main series?
Main series.
I would say Sunshine.
Sunshine.
Sunshine's my absolute favorite.
Yeah.
Flood was great. The world itself was just amazing. I don't like the Hawaiian setting, but Sunshine makes it very, I don't know, fantasy-like? I don't know. Something about it felt really otherworldly,
like any
other Mario game. And the whole water gimmick just felt right. I know people don't like Sunshine a lot, but to me there's just something that you can't get with any other Mario game.
And they're out of their mind, because it's a great game.
It is a really good game.
so good.
We were talking about earlier, it's a very underrated Mario game.
Absolutely.
I think, I can't wait till they bring that on the Switch, because they already announced they're bringing GameCube games on the Switch.
I cannot wait.
I want it to be HD.
Yes.
I want it HD.
If they can HD it and make it, done.
I can't wait.
Oh, man.
We were just talking about that.
Yeah.
Because that's between that and Luigi's Mansion, and I would be all set.
So, introduce yourselves to the people who are listening at home.
Hi, my name is Sola. I'm just a guy. I kind of did videos for a while.
Right.
But I actually have this exact mic.
Oh, awesome.
Awesome.
Very cool. Well, thank you for joining us. I saw that you were watching earlier, and I'm like, well, I'm going
to
have
listen
join
to podcasts on my phone, but then I was like, okay, these guys are doing a podcast.
They're just recording live. See
good
that is?
Right? See, we're grilling.
Awesome,
man.
We're reaching the masses unlike
the masses.
Any time before, because literally no one was listening before.
Right.
So,
but I want to thank you guys so much for joining us. Thank you everyone who commented. Thank you for coming on over and jumping into the podcast. So stay tuned, because me and Danny are going to come back, and Danny's going to give his 2 cents.
Yes.
His 2 coins.
Correct.
You know, about his favorite modern Mario game. And then we're going to go on to our first impressions review of Super Mario Odyssey. So stay tuned, everyone, to our podcast, Beyond the Start Button.
Yes, and thank you for allowing me to actually say something on a podcast again,
because
I feel very lonely.
And you should join it. Like, I'm trying listeners to get him back.
Yes.
Maybe do a segment on our podcast.
Yes, I'm working on
it. So,
like I said, I have to finish that Donkey Kong series.
There you go. Well, anyways, so thank you for coming, Ray.
Thank you.
And we'll turn it over to future me. So go, future me.
In the future.
In the future.
So thank you, past me, for the hats. I hope you guys enjoyed that, kind of the history of the modern Mario games. Now, he wasn't with us at the midnight release, but he was there in spirit. So I wanted Danny, the ultrasonic player, to give a chance to kind of give his take on the modern Mario. So, Danny, let's talk a little bit about, what is your favorite modern Mario game?
Well, to start off, really, it's pretty much Mario 64, hands down. I mean, it doesn't really get any better than that, in terms of putting Mario into the modern era. Obviously we've had many different, a lot of classic Mario gems since then, you know, Mario Sunshine, Galaxy, and of course now Odyssey. But with Mario 64, I'm not sure what would be the best word to put it. I mean, I don't know, I guess you can call it maybe a watermark, or, no, that's probably not the right word. But the thing is, that game was such a groundbreaking thing when it came out that it did everything right. And mind you, the deck was kind of stacked against Nintendo at that time, because at the time we were transitioning into the 32/64-bit era. And so trying to, you know, 3D was really becoming more of the norm than 2D. And so Nintendo decided to go ahead and, bring Mario, a 2D character, into a 3D realm, and that was something that was quite a risk, because Mario games really work best in such a in 2D so well that it's almost like trying to surpass perfection, you know, but somehow And again, and this is credit to Miyamoto and his team at Nintendo EAD, but they pulled it off. I mean, when you play Mario 64, the whole gameplay element, the whole gameplay feel, the level design, and just everything just melds so well that it pretty much takes the whole 2D platforming and gives it such a 3D makeover that the transition feels very, very seamless, and it doesn't feel out of place. Nothing feels artificial. It's just done so well that really it's hard to top. And there have been other attempts, and other developers at that point in time tried to do the same thing with mixed results. But again, that's what makes Mario 64 stand out. Granted, you don't really have as much access to the power-ups that you did in previous games, but that's okay because the new power-ups you get more than make up for that. And also also the music. The music alone it's like, if I go to any of the levels, I just want to step on a Koopa shell and just basically, you know, essentially skateboard on the thing just to hear that music tune. Because it's just, you just want to hear it again and again and again and again. And it's just, you can't really top that. You just can't. And of course, just traveling around and finding all the secret stars and pretty much trying to kick Bowser's butt only, you know, a million times more, you know, I mean, that never gets old. So, yeah, I mean, again, Mario 64, hands down, you know, it reinvented the wheel. And I'm glad that it did.
Awesome. So what would you say would be your second place?
Well, my second place would be Mario Galaxy. Mainly because it pretty much takes all the platforming aspects and introduces a new wrinkle into it. And that wrinkle is pretty much gravity. Where sometimes, you know, going from one planetoid to another isn't exactly as simple or as straightforward as one might think. You know, because, you know, there's black holes, there's enemies, and all kinds of things that you really got to be on your toes. But fortunately, though, there's new power-ups to kind of help you get around that, especially if you know how. And as is the case with the Mario games, there's a lot of Easter eggs to be found if you know where to look. And sometimes you have to kind of, you know, devote a little more time. But fortunately, though, that's where strategy guides come in to kind of help you with that. So, yeah, I mean, that would pretty much be a close second.
Awesome.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was commenting. That's awesome.
Oh, okay, yeah. One honorable mention would be Mario Sunshine. Mainly because it really doesn't stray from the Mario formula either. Granted, you don't have any power-ups to use except your jetpack, or rather water pack, but that's fine. You know, it doesn't deviate so much from the norm that you don't feel like you're not playing a Mario game. And Mario Sunshine does have a special place in my heart. You know, I mean, plus again, who doesn't want to go around and just spray bad guys with water? You know, I mean, it's kind of like what a lot of us used to do as little kids. You know, with the super soakers and whatnot.
Well, very cool. All right, so now let's move on to our first impressions review of Super Mario Odyssey. Now, I want to be very clear. That when we talk about our first impressions, this is just a review of the game as we have just played it. We have not beaten the game. I believe I'm farther than you, Danny.
Yes, you are.
None of us have beaten the game as of yet. As of the recording of this podcast, none of us have beaten the game. So what we want to do is something that we've actually done on the Arcade Archives for a very long time. If you go on the site, thearcadearchives.com, you'll actually see what I mean. We have first impression reviews of a lot of games. I've done a few in the past. I know you've done a few, if I remember correctly, Danny. We kind of want to give you what our first impression was playing the game, for the first time, booting it up, you know, trying it out. So that's basically what we're going to be doing now. We're going to give you that impression. Since Danny was talking, I'll go ahead and start with my review. Danny, if you feel free, go ahead and ask me any questions that you want. Other thing I do want to mention, we will try very, very hard to stay away from spoilers. Okay. I will try harder because I've been farther, but Danny, I promise I won't spoil the game for you because I believe that this is a game that needs to be experienced. It's something that you need to make sure you stay away from all spoilers. And I think Nintendo did a great job of not telling us everything that's in the game. So I feel that this is going to be, that's what we need to keep doing with this review. So, starting off, I really, really enjoy this Mario game. In fact, I would probably say that probably this has become my favorite Mario game so far. Out of all the modern Marios, this is probably by far my favorite. And the thing that I love about it the most is it takes pretty much all the modern Marios that we've been talking about in this podcast so far, it takes all of them and mushes them into one game. So the land is as big and as vast as Sunshine, and you have secret, each level has secret power moons as opposed to power stars, power moons that you have to find, and just like Mario 64, each level has multiple power moons that you can find, but unlike Mario 64, it doesn't tell you how to get them. You have to find them on your own, which I love. You can actually, by the way, this is not a spoiler because you can find this information on the site. You can actually scan any of your amiibos in the game, and they will actually give you a hint to where specific power moons are in your specific level. So if you're having a hard time finding a power moon, you can actually just scan any of your amiibos. Doesn't matter what it is. You can scan any of your amiibos and they'll help out in that respect. So I thought that was pretty cool. Since I'm talking about amiibos, I got the privilege of getting both the Peach and Mario, Mario Odyssey amiibos. They're both in their wedding dresses. Which, by the way, whenever I get married, those will definitely be the top of the cake. If you scan those amiibos do specific things. The Mario one makes you invincible for a time, and the Peach one restores your health, which I have used several times for several of the bosses. It's not cheating if I bought it.
Exactly.
Going back to the game itself, the game is beautiful. The landscape is all the landscapes that I've been to thus far. Beautiful, huge, vast, big. It reminds me of Super Mario 64, how big some of these levels are. It also reminds me of Mario Sunshine with these things being so vast, and then you just kind of just go and just have fun. There are hidden things throughout the level, not just power moons, but they're hidden everything. They hid all kinds of stuff in each level, and It's really kind of fun to kind of find some of this stuff. I also like the fact that this is one of the first games that utilizes the Switch to its fullest abilities. They suggest that you use the two Switch controllers
Joy-Con.
Separate, the two Joy-Cons separate from each other, and play it that way, but you can play it any way you want. You can connect those to the controller, you can use the Pro Controller like I do. It's however you'd like to play it. Now, the only thing I haven't done in Mario so far is I haven't done the two-player mode, which if you listened earlier in the podcast when we were talking to Ray, I believe I called it the little sibling mode. It's kind of like, from what I hear, it's kind of like the little sibling mode in Galaxy where you could collect star bits. But I haven't played it yet, so I can't really review it because I don't know what it does. So I know that they made this game so that anyone can play it. They even made an assist mode that can help you find where you need to go and help you in case you want to, or if you're lost, it'll help you out. I'm not using that mode, and I don't think Danny is either, because I kind of like the joy of discovery. It's a really great title, and the thing that I love about it, and I'm trying not to give too much away when I say this, it takes the entire history of Mario, this game, takes the entire history of Mario and sucks it into one game. And you'll know what I mean when you actually start playing the game. And I love that it does that, and I love that... you could tell the people who created this game love Mario. And Not on just the level design and the gameplay and all that. No, it's the attention to detail. Even the smallest details in each level is just crafted with love. And I really, really believe that this game is really going to shine and probably is going to be the best-selling game system for best-selling game for this system. In fact, I was reading some news stories, but believe it or not, this was a news story on CNBC. I couldn't believe it.
Really?
Yeah, I know, right? They are expecting this game, just this game alone, to sell systems, to sell Switches. In fact, they say if you want a Switch, you better get it now, because after Black Friday, you're going to have a tough time finding a Switch specifically for this game.
I believe it.
And already, they have already said that, already on Amazon, that this game has already outsold Breath of the Wild.
Wow.
Which is ridiculous. And that's just with pre-sales. So who knows, you know, how much more Mario has sold now since it came out. So we haven't got the sales figures yet. I tried to look for it, even though this is a few days after the release. I tried to look for them, but unfortunately Nintendo has not released them yet. So, hopefully, we'll get some, and maybe on the next podcast we'll talk about it. But yeah, I cannot say enough about this game, and there are two more games I'm going to purchase this year, for the most part. So far, even with those games coming out, I am probably going to call this my game of the year, because I'm having that much fun with this game. Now, I haven't played the other one, so I don't want to say it completely, but I think this may be my game of the year this year. So, Danny, what do you think about this game so far?
Well, so far, I'm just basically hooked. I mean, I'm playing it right now as we speak, you know, and already it's sucking me in. You know, it's as is the case with the best Mario games, you just want to sit down, play the thing, and just forget about everything else because it's that good.
Right.
It's and mind you, I'm still on the Top Hat Tower, but oh my gosh, I can't. Oh man, stop me before I go on. It's that good.
Right. I just can't believe how much this game is, like, honestly, it's my favorite Mario game now. It really is. It has turned into my favorite Mario game. The characters are lovable. The worlds are incredibly detailed and wacky, but also, like, nothing is what you expect it to be, which I love. I love that it's like that. Nothing is what you expect it to be. And I love that about this game. And I feel that that's kind of the... and we've talked about this with Ray, and I'll talk about it real quick with you. I feel that that's the Nintendo's mantra now for the Switch, is to make these games and give them, you know, these games that people know and love, but change them around. Like Breath of the Wild, you know, your traditional Zelda game, but turned around, you know, to where it's a freedom. Like, the game has so much freedom in that game. You can do whatever you want, whenever you want it. You know, you don't have to go in a linear fashion. You know, with this game, with Mario, it takes the usual Mario formula that we saw back in, you know, back in Mario 64 days. And it kind of turns it on its head, you know, with the fact that this is the first Mario game that does not have lives. You don't have one-ups in this game. There are no one-up mushrooms in this game at all. If you die, you lose coins. And this is also, I feel that this is the first game, first Mario game, that I actually feel that coins actually matter. Like, I actually am trying to collect coins now, because, you know, these coins actually do things. And again, I'm not going to spoil what they do, but you want to collect these coins. And each world has its own currency as well. Which is interesting. So you have two sets of coins that you have to get. So that's interesting. I really do like that attention to detail. I really love the characters. The story is very interesting, and I can't wait to see. This is probably one of the first Mario games that I've actually sat and went, yeah, this story is quite interesting. So, like, most of the time it's just, okay, let's just save the princess. That's pretty much it. With Galaxy, the Rosalina story that we talked about earlier in the podcast, that was just a side thing that just kind of, you just kind of did as kind of a side mission. But this, the whole story is actually quite good. And, it's actually very satisfying, and I can't wait to see where it goes from here. What do you feel so far? I mean, you're pretty starting the game pretty early. So, what do you think of that opening cinematic though?
Oh, that opening cinematic was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it and like you said, it's doing things that you don't really expect.
Right.
Because you figure, oh, okay, well, Mario, you know, got his butt kicked a little bit. Okay, all right, don't worry, he'll bounce back. But no. Somehow Bowser was able to take Mario's hat and, you know, you'll know when you start, but basically he does something to Mario's hat that's like, oh no. You know, you think that, oh no, Mario's without, like, it's like, oh man, what's the word? It's like if you took, a Jedi's lightsaber from them.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe not even that, but just, it's basically like you take an
It's taking what's making them iconic, is what you're saying.
Exactly. And you just kind of, and shredding it as if to say, ha! You're no longer you're no longer you without this anymore. You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
But fortunately though, you know, but that sets up the whole thing. That's what sets up the whole thing. And then along comes a new ally who, fortunately though, is able to find your missing emblem or symbol, if you will, and is able to kind of somewhat patch it up and help you out.
I really like him. I like Cappy. Cappy is really cool. I really enjoy him as a companion character.
Yeah, and what's cool too is that the very thing that that was always, you know, your emblem ends up playing a big part in the adventure. You know,
right.
And mind you, I just got started and now I'm already on the next place. That's the first power moon, so I'm already looking for that. And, but just seeing that, and again, Cappy really is a pretty cool character.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I could easily, and again, it's funny, it's one of those things that make you go, why in the world hasn't there been another Mario animated series? Cause it's not like there's a lack of source material. I mean, cause after all, I mean, we all know from the very first Super Mario Brothers Super Show, you know, they only had the first two games and that was it. They had to kind of make up everything else on the go. But now, I mean, there's so much source material that you can draw on that it's really just a question of, well, why don't you do it? And again, I mean, it's you got all the ingredients there and the source material to make a cool Mario cartoon.
And
because that's what this really kind of like feels.
And this feels more cinematic though. This game feels more cinematic than even Galaxy. Even Galaxy was a very surprising and unique game. This seems more of a cinematic game, like almost like a mini Mario movie, if you will.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, yeah, sorry, I'm just, you know, I'm again, me just
No, it's fine. He's playing the game, folks, as we speak, so. So please forgive him if he forgets something.
I'm at the waterfall basin as of this recording.
So, but the other thing I love about this game, as opposed to other ones, is it's portable. You can play this game wherever you want. You know,
yep.
And I love that aspect of the game, that you can stop playing and then go, you know, to the park and play it in the park. Or, you know, the sad thing about this is that now that I have my Switch and now that I've been playing it and then I'm used to it, I actually feel bad for my 3DS because I actually don't want to play it anymore. Because why play my 3DS when I can play games like Mario and Fire Emblem Warriors and Zelda when I want to, you know? These high-end titles, I can play wherever, you know? So I feel that's also probably what most people are going to think. And that's why I'm very sure that the 3DS is probably coming to the end of its life cycle. But that's a topic for another podcast. So,
so
I don't want to give this a grade or anything like that. But I will say that if you have a Switch and you do not have this game, I would highly suggest it. Even if you haven't played a Mario game since Mario 64, I would highly, highly suggest this game. Mario retains every single power he's had from the past games too. So you have the ground pound, and you have the wall jump, and you have the duck jump, and you even have a spin too from Galaxy. So I would highly, highly suggest this game if you haven't played it yet. I highly suggest it. Danny, what is your thought? What's your final thought on Odyssey?
Oh, well, my final thought is that it's an epic game, and this is definitely, I mean, again, I don't think you can say much more about it because it is that good of a game. Again, for me, it's just a question of, you know, just wanting to spend as much time as possible to, you know, and just play everything, do everything, and just have a great big only time.
Awesome.
It's from what I've played so far, and again, it's not much, but my gosh, I love it.
Super impressed. Well, hopefully when we come back for our next podcast, I'll have you continue with your review until you play it a little bit more. I want to thank you so much for coming, for using our very expensive, teleconferencing recording device that we have set up, because I totally have that.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for listening. If you guys want to drop us a line and tell us what you thought about Super Mario Odyssey, you can find us on three different places. You can find us on Twitter at Arcade A Network. Again, that's Arcade A Network. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/ Arcade81. Again, that's facebook.com/Arcade81. And of course on Instagram, at the Arcade Archives Network. Again, that's the Arcade Archives Network. And you can actually find us on the website at thearcadearchives.com. You can also send us your questions, comments, whatever you'd like on there. Now, you can personally get in contact with me on Twitter at ubernerd527. That's UBERNERD 527. And that's on both Twitter and Instagram as well. Both the same handle, ubernerd527. That's where you can find me. Now, what about you, Danny?
All right. Well, you can find me on Instagram under the pen name Ultrasonic9. And, of course, on Twitter by the same pen name. Although it probably may be spelled differently slightly. It would be Ultra SNCPLYR9. And I'm also on fanfiction.net, where I write some cool fanfiction for a lot of various things. So you can catch me on there as well.
Awesome. And you can get us, you can also contact Ray, who was on the podcast as well, at the aforementioned places as well. So thank you guys so much for joining us here for our special edition Super Mario Odyssey podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll see you sometime, in November. So enjoy playing Super Mario Odyssey for all those who've got the game so far. And if you haven't got the game yet, make sure you go out there and buy it, because it is definitely a fun buy. Also thank you for all those who commented on our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter comments about their favorite modern Mario games. I already gave their names earlier in the podcast, but thank you guys so much for joining us, and for all the great info you gave us. So that was awesome. So thank you guys very, very much. Danny, is there anything you want to say before we head out?
No, keep playing like it's 1981, and of course, keep playing with power, because there are no limits.
All right. So thank you guys so much, and we'll see you next time. Bye, everyone.
Hey Arcaders, this is Ray Gunn from the Arcade Archives Network. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast that you're listening to. If you're listening on iTunes, please give it 5 stars. A lot of time and patience go into every podcast we do. 5-star ratings help us so we can continue giving you this quality entertainment every month. And don't forget to share us with your friends. If you're listening to us on YouTube, please give us a like and subscribe to our channel. And if you're over on our Facebook page, please like and share. Once again, we do this for you guys, and we enjoy doing it every single single month, so every little bit helps. So please go online and like us today. Thanks. Keep playing like it's 1981, and I'll talk to you guys later. Bye now.
Message from headquarters. This is a Rebellion production and is part of the Arcade Archives Network.
That is awful.